cause the Kings is back. All right, so this might be the end of what was 3 seasons of Lucha Underground. Nobody has any information on it, so we'll see. What's up, guys? This is Smarkamania. My name is Mike Auger, and my co-host, as always, is the one and only Harley Callahan, real name, no gimmicks.
What's up? What's up?
And we're breaking down Lucha Underground's Ultima, you say it.
Ultima Lucha 3.
Yeah, see, I'm not the Mexican guy here, so yeah. You say that a lot better than me. It took place over 4 weeks of television. We wanted to see the whole thing before we wrapped it up, and then we'll kind of reflect on Lucha Underground and, you know, what we thought it brought to the business of professional wrestling and what we'd like to maybe see in the future from it. And then after that, a shit ton of news this weekend heading into TLC. That card has completely changed.
Extremely changed. Like, very much so.
I would say this is the biggest news since The Rock coming back to wrestle.
For sure. And, well, we'll get into if it's smart or not.
For sure. So, we'll start off first with Ultima Lucha 3. So, the first night of the shows, you had only 2 matches. And the first one was... is Tejano taking on Famous B. And Famous B...
Famous B reminds me of when Jay Lethal was going through his Ric Flair phase.
So Famous B has been trying to recruit Tejano this entire time and using the Brenda, the nurse, to try to recruit him.
Yeah.
And him rejecting them has led to, it ended up, he was facing Pentagon in the tournament, the Cueto Cup tournament, and Pentagon ended up breaking Famous B's arm and Brenda's arm instead of Tejano's. So before the match starts, Famous B says, you know what, you said you can beat me, you know, and whoever else, and this is a real handicap match, so I'm going to have my partner, Dr. Wagner Jr. So it's a 2-on-1 handicap match, and basically... one bump that happened in this match is Tejano's up in the stands, and he fucking launches Famous B off the steps onto the concrete. And
yeah, that was crazy.
Totally. This match was okay.
Yeah, it was all right. The thing about Lucha Underground, I feel, is like they have a group of big names and people who they like, and those people will put on good matches.
Right.
But if they bring other people in, it's kind of hard to back it up, you know?
It ends with Brenda distracting Tejano, and Famous B rolls him up with one arm. So now Tejano is a client of Famous B, apparently.
Yeah.
Whatever. No one gives a shit about that match, really. So here we go with... to me, nothing ever got to this level again. This was the Hell of War match between Killshot and Dante Fox.
How the fuck are these guys still alive? Because I checked, and they're still alive.
So...
what they did was, like, insane.
It's a 3-fall match. The first match is... I don't know. The way they mapped it out, they're basically all fucking death matches.
It's all death matches, and then it's supposed to end with someone in an ambulance, essentially.
Right. That's how you get win the 3rd fall.
A lot of, like... crazy moments. There was a moment where they put a glass on top of 2 chairs, and I think it was Dante Fox was trying to throw a kill shot into it, but kill shot pushed him, and Dante Fox ended up eating the glass in his back.
Yeah, they wedged a ladder between the ring and the guardrail too, and kill shots land on the ladder. Dante Fox does a reverse shooting star press onto the ladder. The glass spot, which led to the 1st fall, I believe, Dante Fox's back is just fucking bleeding all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I think Dante Fox got the brunt of most of this.
Yes.
In my opinion. And the thing about this match it was a hardcore match, but it was still a really good wrestling match. Like,
yes.
It wasn't just like, hey, I'm going to beat the shit out of you because fuck you. It was, I'm going to beat the shit out of you with style.
Well, the facials on their faces before this match started, too, really sold... personal conflict these two have in storyline, you know, which is they hate each other. Mm-hmm. The storyline is that Killshot apparently abandoned Dante Fox, left him for dead in war, and then Dante Fox became a POW. Now he's back to try to, you know, get revenge on Killshot. So
this match was really good. Yeah.
Hitting each other with chairs. I believe some kendo sticks were thrown in.
And then they go up to the crowd. Crazy. It wasn't a reverse shooting star press. I think he just splashed him from, like, the stands. You know, frog splashed him from the top of the stands.
Both guys are taking bumps on the glass, though, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But like I said before, Dante Fox probably took the brunt of all that pain.
There's a chunk of skin missing out of Dante Fox's back.
Yeah, it was hard to watch.
It was.
And it was amazing. And, you know, and like you said, their facial expressions were, like, very perfect. Like, they sold it very well, you know? There wasn't anything that you doubted,
right?
Really, you know?
Right.
Which that's what probably makes a good pro wrestling match, is you don't doubt what's happening.
Yep. The finish came, like you said, they're in the stands, and there's this glass thing that's set up on the bottom. Dante Fox ends up getting punched and falls off of this platform. He must have fell a good 15 feet.
Yeah.
Through, like, three panes of glass. He's fucked up, dude. And then, like, I noticed the temple just went deadly silent because they were, like, questioning if Dante Fox was really still alive or not.
Yeah, it went really quiet, and I questioned.
Killshot picks him up, and he kind of has this look of, you know, regret on his face when he puts Dante Fox in the ambulance.
Yeah, he doesn't just, like, throw him in. He gently, like, sets him down and gently closes the door. And
That
it was really good story told throughout it, you know?
But besides the glass, I mean, there was a lot of chair shots, like, really hard chair shots. A lot of crazy moves onto a ladder.
And what I liked about it, too, is there wasn't any interference, really, from other people.
Yeah,
that's absolutely something that really annoys me with certain wrestling matches. Like, there will be interference.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So that was night one, which, again, it's going to be hard to top that match.
Yeah, nothing really topped that.
You know. Night two started with a battle royal for an ultimate opportunity. Definitely the highlight of this entire battle royal was Pimpinella. Fuck, dude.
Oh, man. Making out with that dude, that was so funny. But who I think really is I really enjoyed watching the Mac go at it. I think the Mac is one of the best, like, I think he's one of the best wrestlers right now on the indies, you know?
He is. Bar none.
Yeah, and just, like, and the way he moves, he's like, he's not agile, built agile like Ricochet or Prince Puma, but he can still move like that.
Right. The Mac ends up winning this, and then Dario Cueto comes out and says, okay, your ultimate opportunity is you get a shot at the Trios Championships, but your partners are going to be Dante Fox and Killshot.
If they're still alive.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that, dude. Well,
when he said that, I was a little bit stoked, actually. I was like, okay, this should be a good match.
Yeah.
For the championships. Yeah, I just want to note one thing. Dario Cueto looks like a pedophile. Like, just the way his face is shaped, you know?
Right.
Like, I wouldn't trust him around children, especially with the shit he puts on here, you know?
The next match was Ivelisse and Katrina.
I didn't really care about this match. It was kind of hard for me to get into it.
They structured this match to hide the fact that Katrina is not really a wrestler.
Yeah.
Basically, they brawl to the outside. They go into Dario Cueto's office, and Katrina smashes like 6 beer bottles over Ivelisse's head.
Yeah, it didn't look like a really good match. It didn't look like a good match to me. The spears were bad.
She comes out busted open, but I think it may have been fake blood. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
She may have just done it, like, in Dario Cueto's office, because she wasn't, like, gushing blood. Yeah, but not a ton. It was like an old-fashioned catfight, almost.
Yeah, it really was. And then,
goddamn, Katrina's hot.
Oh, yeah, they're both good looking.
So is Ivelisse, but
yeah, they're both good looking.
Katrina was basically wearing nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you know? It was basically like a bra and a skirt.
Yeah.
But fuck, man. Yeah, I just didn't really get into it, you know. Not one of my favorite matches.
Ibelis gets the win, though.
Yeah.
And then after the match, Jeremiah Crane comes out with a hammer and fucking smashes Ibelis's ankle. And basically, Ibelis is crying, begging, and he's like, "Ooh, wah, wah." Shit, dude. More man-on-woman violence.
God damn it. And, and we wonder why Lucha Underground's in a weird spot.
The main event of night two, Phoenix taking on Marty the Moth, mask versus hair.
Again, it goes to one of my thing where I said, you know, they have a group of people who can always put on a good match. Phoenix is one of those people. Phoenix can put on a good match with probably anyone in that company, you know? I enjoyed the match. It wasn't my favorite. But, there's one problem I have with Phoenix. Why does he do the roll, like the little somersault, to a stunner? Like, I saw someone do that, I would run up and, like, kick their back.
I really like this match.
Yeah.
But, God, dude, there's so much fucking blood in this. Like, I thought growing up in the Attitude Era, maybe I missed the blood.
Yeah.
But when every single match there's somebody bleeding, it's too much.
It loses the meaning. So, yes. Like, if night two there wasn't a lot of blood, like, there wasn't any blood, this match would be great. Because Phoenix's max is ripping, you know, he's trying really hard. Like, it would have fit perfectly. But when you have, like, three other matches with just all blood, and you have Matt Stryker and Vampiro going, "Oh my God, it's bleeding!"
God, I can't stand Matt Stryker. He's so bad, but I like this match, though, dude. I thought it was good psychology, good fire by Phoenix, good babyface fire.
Definitely, yeah.
Like, the never say die attitude. The temple was into it big time.
For sure, yeah.
Marty the Moth can go.
He really can. Like, I was very impressed with him. And like I said, this was a good match, you know? But I agree with your point. Like, all of the violence beforehand, just, like, you kind of, like, it. You lose it once you get to this match, which probably deserved more of the interest because of the story behind it.
Yeah, at one point, Marty the Moth puts Mariposa in the way of Phoenix, and Phoenix does a suicide dive on her. She flips him off and leaves.
Yeah.
So now he's out there by himself. This part, too, was just... It took me out of the match. It was just too much. Marty the Moth takes out some scissors, and he's, like, about to slice fucking Phoenix's throat, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. What the fuck's going on here, you know? Melissa Santos jumps on the apron.
I didn't like this part either.
No. And she's like, "Oh, I'll run away with you. I'll run away with you. I love you." This allows Phoenix to get back up, makes his comeback. And he ends up hitting his finisher and pinning Marty the Moth with Melissa Santos jumping on top of Phoenix.
Well, like, before that, Marty the Moth had, like, grabbed Melissa Santos and was just kind of, like, shaking her and holding her and just, like, about to slap her. And it's just like, fuck. Like,
right.
That's just, I don't know. That kind of killed the match for me.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I did like this overall story being told, and Phoenix is a great babyface.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Phoenix is probably, like, if he had more exposure, he'd be the Rey Mysterio of this generation.
Sure. Marty the Moth tries to bail on it, and then Mariposa is like, "Oh, come with me." And then she hits him right in the fucking head with a chair. Marty the Moth goes tumbling down the steps, and then they shave his head right there.
Word.
So.
It was good. So that was night two, guys. Right now we got night three, and...
We started off with Sexy Star taking on Taya in a Las Luchadoras standing match.
Both of those bitches, like, are so stiff at the beginning of their matches.
They beat the shit out of each other, dude.
They did, but it was so stiff at the beginning.
Oh!
It was just like,
Their titties are sore after that match.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of
because there was like 10,000 chops in this match.
Punches, you know?
Yeah.
As it progressed, the match definitely got better. But just, like, I don't know. Whenever I see Sexy Star,
yeah,
I just...
especially now.
I just can't be... like, and, like, this was taped, you know? So this was probably before the whole incident with her. But I see Sexy Star now, I'm just like, I can't get behind you, you know? No.
Nope. Yeah, so they're beating the shit out of each other.
Taya reminds me of, like, in high school, there's like the group of like troubled kids, and then she's the one white girl who comes in and thinks she's black. Just the way she talks and just carries herself. I'm like, you think you're black just because you listened to probably like Eminem once in your life.
She, they do spot on the table. I believe there's some chair shots. Taya comes up busted open now. Mm-hmm. So now we've already had, what, 3 matches with blood in them?
Well, let's see. We've had Dante Fox, Killshot.
Ivelisse and Katrina.
Ivelisse and Katrina. Marty the Moth and Phoenix.
4 matches.
Yeah.
Four matches.
I feel like there's one more.
Well, we're not done. Yeah. That's probably what you're thinking of. They go all over the arena, the same shit. They're brawling in the crowd. There's a spot that... I believe it ends with a spot through the table. Mm-hmm. And Sexy Star gets to her feet first. A decent match, though. It was definitely hard hitting, big time.
It was definitely. My only complaint with them is, like, it didn't look good at the beginning. But as they started getting into it, it progressed much better.
Right.
It's like it's like the reverse of Will Ospreay selling.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The next match was the Trios Championship match. Dante Fox, Killshot, and the Mac taking on the Snake Tribe, which is Drago, Pindar, and Vibora.
I like this match.
Cobra Moon. Yeah, very good match.
Especially after what had happened to those two, Dante and Killshot, you know? I understand, like, it was taped and they probably had a couple days to recuperate. But still, to do a good match like that, you know? And the Mac was probably, like, for me, the Mac stood out in this match.
Well, first of all, too, the Band-Aids weren't holding up, and these guys are both bleeding all over the place.
Oh.
Killshot and Dante Fox. Like, they probably literally shot this match the next day.
Oh, really? Huh.
Because they were both bleeding like a motherfucker on the back.
That's true, yeah.
You could see a chunk of skin missing out of Dante Fox's back.
Yeah, you could see that. That was fucking...
Good match, though. Back and forth action. I mean, Drago's awesome. So is Pindar.
Yeah. Drago and Pindar. Pindar, don't ever go to WWE. They will fuck you up.
Well, Drago's in TNA or Impact or whatever they're called. Yeah, but
Jeff Jarrett's company?
Yeah, there you go. Well, it used to be. Oh, shit.
Anthem's company?
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, no. They're not Anthem anymore.
It ends with the Mac hitting the stunner on Pindar. And they win the Trios Championships. And then Killshot and Dante Fox kind of have a reluctant stare down and then end up kind of making up. And
yeah.
Comes full circle, you know?
Really good match. I enjoyed this one.
The main event of Night 3, Pentagon Dark taking on Son of Havoc for the Gift of the Gods Championship in a ladder match.
So when we get into Night 4... I'm just going to say this right now. I liked this match better than the last match in Night 4.
Fair point, but something about this match was underwhelming to me.
Do you think it might have just been like there was already so much happening?
Could be.
You know?
It wasn't a bad match.
It wasn't. I enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of Son of Havoc. I like his work. Pentagon Dark is a great wrestler. I think he brings a unique thing to Lucha Underground. Was like he doesn't do a lot of flippy shit.
There was some good spots off the ladders, including I believe Son of Havoc tries to do like a springboard off the ladder, and Pentagon catches him in a DDT or a.
It was a
code breaker.
It was a stunner.
It was a stunner. There you go.
Yeah, it was a cutter, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it was like cutter? In midair.
Yeah, and it was really good.
Yeah.
Because Pentagon Dark had been under a bunch of ladders, so he just got him right there. But yeah, it was really hard hitting, and they had good spots as well, too, with the ladders.
One spot, Pentagon sets up 6 chairs and does the package pile driver on all 6 of them. You can see the dent in the chair. I mean, it looked horrible, man.
It was, yeah.
What I didn't like about this match was the finish, because Pentagon, he sets up this platform, and... Instead of just climbing and grabbing the belt, it's like they're just waiting to set up this move. I felt like it was too much setup.
I would agree with that.
And it didn't play into the psychology of the match. It's like nobody's trying to grab the fucking belt. Everybody's just setting up the next spot.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd probably give that like Pentagon Dark has been wrestling that long, you know, right?
I don't know
how long he's been wrestling. Because I'd give that maybe just like amateur. could be. Tensies? Let me see.
But the thing is, like, those spots always take me out of ladder matches where it's too, like, okay, they're just setting up this spot because this needs to happen right here.
Yeah, it's just not, like, happening sporadically.
It's not playing into the match, which the point of the match is climb the ladder and grab the belt, you know?
Yeah.
But it ends with Pentagon does the Uranage suplex to Son of Havoc through the table.
Yeah, he debuted in 2010, so...
Okay, so he's, you know, he's still not even 10 years in.
Yeah, so I'd just maybe give that to amateur.
Maybe they haven't worked a lot of ladder matches, too.
I feel like Pentagon Dark Wood, just because of his character, but probably not, yeah.
He climbs up, he grabs a belt, he's a Gift of the Gods champion now. So... That brings us to night four. And we started off with Matanza Cueto taking on El Dragon Azteca Jr. in a steel cage match. Again, this match was underwhelming, but there was one spot where I was like, holy shit, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It was right in the beginning. Matanza throws Dragon Azteca through the cage. And Dragon Azteca goes flying like 97 feet down the aisle, dude.
Fuck, man.
That's technically, cool. He wins.
Yeah.
But then Dario Cueto comes out and says, no, this match is being restarted. You're not going to escape that easily. And Matanza pretty much just, for the most part, beats the shit out of him after this. But
yeah.
I didn't really, I don't know.
What was the purpose of this match?
Well, they've been feuding because... Rey Mysterio is the first one to pin Matanza.
Yeah.
And then Dragon Azteca is like the apprentice of Rey.
Yeah.
They had a death match a few episodes back, and Matanza slammed him through the top of Dario Cueto's office. So this is kind of the culmination of that. You know, I really didn't start liking this match until Matanza started doing his suplexes.
Because
he's fucking awesome in that regard.
Oh, yeah. He has great suplexes.
And then when Dragon Azteca starts getting some heat back, Black Lotus shows up. Splashes Dragon Azteca off the top. And then Matanza hits the Tour of the Island Slam and pins him and gets the win. Then she low blows Matanza and power bombs him off the top rope. Goes up to Dario Cueto. She's like, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. And then Dario's like, wait. I got something to tell you. All of a sudden, Matanza's behind Black Lotus. Fucking beats her ass. Gives her that Tour of the Island Slam. And then he was like, I am a liar to her. I love Dario Cueto, man.
He's so good.
He's so good at playing that sleazeball role, dude.
Definitely. He's like a piece of shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like... It'd be cool to have a conversation with him, but I would, like, keep one hand in my wallet.
Right? What'd you think of that match?
I actually missed that match.
I thought it was underwhelming as shit.
Yeah.
I really did. The next match is the Gauntlet of the Gods three-way match, which Dario Cueto comes out and says it's an elimination.
Mm-hmm.
Mil Muertes... Cage and Jeremiah Crane. God, Katrina looks so fucking hot in this, by the way.
Yeah, dude. And these are like big dudes.
These guys beat the shit out of each other again. But again, every match is going to the outside. Every match is kind of going through the crowd.
Yeah, that's like... And I can see like this is like the point where you start getting kind of tired, you know?
Yeah.
Even though this was spread out between different weeks.
If you watched it all back to back, did you do that?
I did that, yeah.
Oh, fuck. So you have 5 hours of this.
Yeah, man. And I was just like...
Came too much, huh?
Shit. Yeah, it really did come too much. But yeah, these dudes are huge. And it is just really was like a hard-hitting match. But again, it was hard to get into it because we just seen like... six other matches with, like, blood. Most of those matches all went outside, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how the crowd stayed into it, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, I know for a fact most of those people paid to see every taping.
Actually, all those tapings are free. You have to get on the list.
Yeah, so...
I tried to, and they were like, yeah, fuck you. We already sold all the tickets. But, yeah, you're right. I think they filmed these all back to back to back.
Yeah.
And this was filmed over a year ago.
Yeah, so I don't understand how, like, they can just stay into it.
Jeremiah Crane for somehow just comes out bleeding for no reason. Like, did you even see how he got busted open? Because nope. I didn't. All of a sudden, he just comes out bleeding.
It was so funny.
You know, he goes to the back, though, grabs a pane of glass, slams it over Mil Mortis. Mil Mortis' arm is fucking all blooded up.
Yeah. And we're still supposed to watch the main event of the entire thing, too.
He takes out some, like, wooden spikes, jams them in fucking Cage's head. So he's got spikes coming out of his head. Cage is bleeding from his head. Then he fucking DDTs him. Spikes go even further into the head. Hits Mil Mortis in the face with a hammer.
Is Cage still alive?
Then there's a spot that was insane, dude. They set up two tables on the outside. Mil Mortis is laid out on the top of those tables. Cage superplexes Jeremiah Crane from the inside to the outside through Mil Mortis through two tables. Throws him back in. Hits that fucking finisher that just doesn't seem very conventional at all.
Yeah.
What is it called? Weapon X or something like that? It's something to that effect. So Jeremiah Crane is eliminated. And then it's Mil Mortis and Cage at this point. And they're going at it. They're brawling. And it ends with Mil Mortis hitting the flatliner on Cage on a chair. He gets the pin and gets this gauntlet. They've been pushing this gauntlet throughout this entire season. Mm-hmm. It's some kind of magical gauntlet that has powers or whatever.
Yeah.
So Mil Mortis puts the gauntlet on, does a Thor pose, the lights go out, come back on, and it's King Cuerno, who we haven't seen since Ultima Lucha Dos.
Yeah.
Since they had their death match. Mm-hmm. Beats the shit out of Mil Mortis, and he steals the gauntlet. So now King Cuerno has the gauntlet. And takes off. The final match, or so we thought, was, first of all, the...
I can't find the finisher.
I think it's called Weapon X or something like that. They showed this hype package for Johnny Mundo, which was fucking awesome.
It was Johnny Mundo doing it, huh?
Yeah. Taya was narrating.
I love Johnny Mundo. He's so good, dude.
He's like the ultimate douchebag.
He is. Like, he is what people think Californians are.
Absolutely right.
I guarantee. I could just see New York people watching Johnny Mundo and just being like, man, those fucking Californians are all the fucking same.
I love the part, too, where they're interviewing the Worldwide Underground.
Yeah.
And PJ Black's like, yeah, man, he's like the best leader. He lets us do whatever we want. And Johnny Mundo's like, I don't let them do whatever they want.
No. Yeah, I love the Worldwide Underground.
Yeah, Johnny Mundo's like, you know, all the believers in the temple, they're just losers, you know? They're just jealous because they don't have what I have, and that's just being Johnny Mundo. You know, and Prince Puma should consider it an honor to... he's like, I'm jealous of Prince Puma because he's going to finish his career losing to the greatest wrestler of all time.
He just went Kanye West on him. Oh, man.
Just cracking up, dude.
Oh, man. It's like the Kanye West song, I Love Kanye. He's like, I love you because Kanye loves Kanye.
Like, shit.
And there was this one thing where he's like, my greatest, you know, disappointment in life is like, I never get to see myself perform live.
Let's give you the backstory, though, on what they've been building for this.
This has been like a multi-season thing.
So Vampiro was revealed was the master of Pentagon Jr.
Yeah.
After they had their death match.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Great match.
Vampiro trained Pentagon to become Pentagon Dark after Matanza basically fucking paralyzed him.
Yeah.
He comes back. He still loses. He turns on Vampiro and fucks him up at the end of Ultima Lucha Dos.
Mm-hmm.
So this season, Prince Puma has kind of been being recruited by Vampiro, and when he kind of joins Vampiro's crew is when he dies in storyline, because I believe Mil Mortis kills him in a casket match,
casket,
right?
Yeah.
So now Prince Puma is allegedly like possessed, or he's, you know, undead.
Yeah.
And Vampiro has been training him this whole time now to take on Johnny Mundo. This match was a lot of gymnastics.
The
one thing I hate about Ricochet. So, kayfabe Prince Puma.
Yeah. So the thing about a Johnny Mundo and a Ricochet match is that really a Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma Those are the two. Those are, I would say they are the John Cena and Randy Orton. No, John Cena and Edge of Lucha Underground. Like, I've never seen a bad match with those two.
It wasn't a bad match
either. But the thing about it is that it's been done a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they were the first main event on Lucha Underground, the first episode. They've been fighting all throughout the seasons. You know, there was a time when Prince Puma, Rey Mysterio, and Phoenix, I think.
Yeah, we're taking the Worldwide
Underground. We're taking the Worldwide Underground. Yeah. So, like, it's been done before.
Sure.
And Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma are great wrestlers. But I just...
Nothing different was brought here.
Nothing really different. Like there wasn't any Edge being brought out of Prince Puma. There wasn't... Johnny Mundo did the same things, you know? And I understand that's their stick, and it works for them. But there's a point where if you're going to have a long feud with someone, you need to bring different things, you know?
Right.
Like, let's go back to John Cena and the Edge thing, you know? Edge really had to bring out, like... a different type of heel for himself when that happened. And John Cena had to, like, build up his repertoire of, like, hey, I'm going to fight for this, you know? Right. So, it was a good match. It was a lot of flippy shit, you know, and then a lot of interferences that I didn't think were necessary, you know? Like, the Worldwide Underground always interferes. I don't think that needed to happen.
And they did. Multiple ref bumps. Angelico shows back up, and I didn't really give a shit, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't care. The one thing I did like about that is the ref took out the Worldwide Underground. Fucking A. The
worst suicide dive ever.
Watching the refs get into it, like, there was a... I was watching a match with the British Strong Style, and they hand, like... their opponents to the ref, and the ref does a pedigree to the guy, and they're like, and like Pete Dunne's like, I'll count for you, and he counts. And so
that's so funny.
But yeah, so I enjoyed seeing the ref get into that. You know, this match wasn't bad at all. I just think Ricochet needs to find a character, which is something I've always been talking about. He needs to find a better character.
Because even Puma has a character, but you don't buy it.
Yeah, because you know it's Ricochet.
Right.
He needs to find a character, and he also needs to bring out something else, you know?
The guy's fucking incredible, though. I mean, nobody can do what this guy can do, except maybe absolutely. Will Ospreay.
And I don't want anyone to think we're bashing Ricochet. We're not. He's an amazing athlete.
It's more just being like a well-rounded, well-refined character.
Exactly. And because
if he is going to the E, which we forgot to mention last week.
Oh, yeah, we'll mention it now. Bring it
up. Yeah. Yeah. We'll get there. So...
we're not bashing these two guys. Yeah. They put on a good match. But again, it's been like they've been doing this every season.
Sometimes it's too much gymnastics too with Ricochet.
Exactly. And you know, there's too much gymnastics. They've had matches before. We understand these guys can go in the ring. You need to do something different for us as the fans. Sure. You know?
But the guy's fucking, again, like you said, we're not bashing the guy. He's fucking incredible. Yeah. I love watching his matches.
And Johnny Mundo as well. We're not bashing him either.
But just sometimes, you know, I totally get what you're saying. Ricochet ends up getting the pin, though, with the, 6:30?
Yeah, believe so.
Two-time Lucha Underground champion. And then Dario Cueto comes out of his office, says, this night is not over. There's still one more match. This man came to me last week. As for this match, typically I like to have a week to promote a match, but what the hell? Gift of the Gods champion, Pentagon Dark, is cashing in his Gift of the Gods championship. It's Pentagon versus Prince Puma, but both of your careers are on the line. One of you's walking out of here champion, and one of you's never coming back in here again. So then these two go to war. And I actually kind of like this match more than the Mundo match.
It was shorter. One thing that happened in this match just ruined it for me. Prince Puma is like on the top rope and he looks... No. Yeah, Prince Puma's on the top rope about to like trying to splash...
They waited too long for this.
Yeah. They trying to like splash Pentagon Dark. Pentagon Dark gets up like way before Prince Puma gets to the...
excuse me.
Gets to the top of the rope. And you can see Prince Puma and Dark looking at each other. And you just see, like, just a super kick. And it's like, I saw you two look at each other. You got up way before he got to the top rope. So he obviously saw you. And the way the camera was positioned, it just, I didn't believe. I was just like, really? That's, like, you two know way better than to do something as revealing as that. Because you looked at each other. Pentagon Dark was up way before you got to the top rope. And you got super kicked. Like, how the fuck does that happen?
There were some incredible things in this match, though. Because Pentagon pretty much breaks his arm right in the beginning of the match.
Yeah.
And then Puma tapes up his arm. He's doing a lot of moves one-handed in this match, including like a fucking superplex, a brainbuster, like all kinds of shit, dude.
He does great. Prince Puma has great like suplexes.
Yeah, you know, but the finish. First of all, the look on Vampiro's face when Pentagon came out, did that kind of tip his to hand of where this was going?
Yes. Very much so.
Because he had his smile on his face, and like he wasn't talking when Matt Stryker's trying to talk to him.
Yeah. Which happens whenever Vampiro sees Pentagon Dark, gets a little boner.
Sure.
You know.
So the finish comes. Puma's on the top rope. He's going to do the 630. Vampiro's sitting there with his hand on Pentagon Dark's hand for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Waiting for Puma to come off.
How does Puma not see this?
Puma comes off. Vampiro pulls Pentagon out of the ring. I like Matt Stryker for once in my life at this point.
Yeah.
Matt Stryker's like, you pulled him out of the ring! You son of a bitch! Don't you come over here near me! I'll have this little kid do commentary with me! And I'm like, why is there a little kid there? A little kid should not be watching this show.
Yeah, no. First off, why is there a little kid there? Second off, that's fucking funny.
Yeah. Pentagon hits a fucking running, jumping package pile driver to pin.
I liked that. That Puma was really good.
Gets the pin. Pentagon Dark is the Lucha Underground champion now.
Has he ever been champion?
No. So first time.
Nice.
This is the first time Pentagon's had any belts, and he won both of them.
Yeah, so that's really cool for him.
Vampiro comes in the ring, though, puts the belt around his waist, raises his hand.
Prince Puma was like, what the fuck? You know, like, that obviously, like, is a good response. Like, what the fuck you do that for?
And the temple's like, nah, 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 nah. Like, I thought they liked Puma. But then they're like, thank you, Puma. Everybody just wanted to chant, I guess.
Yeah.
Pentagon cuts a promo, generic promo, no big deal. So then we get the wrap-up here. And this sucks, dude, because if they don't get another season, we're never going to see how this culminates.
Mm-hmm.
Vampiro is all zombied out, and he's like, I've done your bidding, my master. Some fucking dude shows up in a Shao Kahn mask from Mortal Kombat. He's like, you've done well. And then basically they say they're setting up Pentagon to be the champion so this guy can come in and take him down.
Hmm.
So it's all double cross. It's a triple cross.
It's a quadruple cross.
Yeah. So Vampiro is serving this guy, whoever this guy's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy's going to come in and take out
Pentagon Dark.
Pentagon Dark. They're showing a sexy star. She's signing autographs. This little girl comes up and gives her a box. And she says she hasn't forgotten about you. And there's a tarantula in the box. That's kind of been going throughout all three seasons, right?
Yeah.
Do we even know what that's about?
I can't remember. I feel like we
should. It's not Manny Posa, though, right?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I just noticed that. But I can't really remember.
Phoenix leaves in his car with Melissa Santos. What else do we see here?
Dario Cueto has like two dreams in one.
Dario Cueto ends up getting killed at the end of this, which is the most shocking part of this whole thing.
Yeah, and it was weird. Like, it like he was with a dude, and then he was with a dude, and then he wakes up again, and he's still like dying.
He was supposed to give the gauntlet to that guy,
because
there's, you know, all the gods are like have got the mayors and all that shit in the city, like in their back pocket. Keep in mind, I've missed a lot of episodes of this show.
Yeah.
But as best I can tell, that's from what I remember, that's what the storyline is.
Mm-hmm.
So with him being dead, he gets on the phone and calls somebody, and I guess it's his dad?
Yeah.
So that's what they're saying in this. Rey Mysterio is locked up with Matanza in the prison.
Wow.
And then it shows Jeremiah Crane kind of giving Katrina a look. Shows King Cuarto with his gauntlet. Shows Puma leaving the arena and he drops a mask on the ground and it shows a mask. So it's kind of trying to like wrap up everybody's storyline, so to speak. That's how it ends, though, with Dario Cueto dying.
Yeah.
So, what do you think, like, Lucha Underground... What do you think it's done for the business of professional wrestling?
I think it gave it a really nice alternative.
Yes.
Very much so. I think the second season was probably... That's when I got into it, and I think that's probably, like, their best season. You know? Because they weren't filling things out like in season one. They were still trying to build storylines, and they had good stories being told. Season two brought us, you know, Prince Puma and Rey Mysterio working together, and then Prince Puma and Rey Mysterio facing each other.
Right.
You know? So I think it gave it a nice alternative. It gave us more of a look into... It gave us a way to look into Mexican wrestling with an American lens. I think it did that very well. Because Americans really don't want to watch Rio Lucha Libre, you know? Rio Lucha Libre is very different than Lucha Underground. I think we can both agree on that.
Sure, yep.
But it gave us a way to kind of watch more of that. Like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. I want to see the origins of this. And you could go watch promotions like AAA.
Well, with this too is... They make no bones about it that this is a television show about an underground fighting ring.
Yeah, and that adds to it, you know? It's not like...
It's 100% kayfabe. Like,
yeah.
You have to buy into the mystical elements, the sci-fi elements of this storyline, you know what I mean?
Definitely. You have to... It's a soap opera.
The lizard tribe is actual lizards. Oh, I forgot about that part! Cobra Moon's little boy toy ends up chopping off Pindar's head, so Pindar's fucking dead too.
See? Like, you gotta buy into this stuff, you know? It is a soap opera, essentially, yeah. You know? But it's got...
The backstage vignettes, though, are shot like an actual movie.
Yes. The backstage vignettes are shot like movies, and it brings great athleticism in pro wrestling. Like, you're not gonna see this stuff in WWE, and I think that's why people like it.
You will not find a better weekly television show with this kind of action.
Yes.
Ever. You will not.
It's very good in being action-packed. It's weekly television. Pretty decent storylines, you know? You know, you watch it like a TV show. You don't watch it like WWE, like, oh, it's real. No, it's supposed to be a TV show.
Yeah.
It's like you're watching fucking
Criminal Minds.
Game of Thrones, yeah. Or Criminal Minds, you know? Yeah. Like, do you go watch Criminal Minds like, oh, he said that. That's not real. Like, how dare you say that?
Right.
It's like, no. It's a TV show.
But it's funny because the action in the ring is like as real as it fucking gets.
Definitely. And I think it gave wrestling a new way to produce their product.
Now, the detriment to this show, I am not a fan of the man-on-woman violence, dude.
Yeah, that is probably what hurt it the most.
I just, because you can't buy, we've brought this up before in here.
Yeah.
I can't buy Sexy Star having a chance against Matanza.
Or
fucking Mil Muertes.
I watched, there was a match like that, and it just didn't look believable to me.
Fuck no.
So the man-on-woman violence is probably what killed it the most. And also, like, the overt violence, you know? Like,
it's much sometimes.
Yeah, like, I don't think they can go, like... I think there was a point where, like, every episode... Like this. Every episode, there was some sort of blood. Everyone was going out to the crowd. Like, it lost its specialty about that.
Right.
The cool thing about, like, you... Like, the thing that made WWE probably great... And one of the reasons it made it great back in, like, the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era is that, like... Pay-per-views were probably the only time you would see people bleed.
Maybe in Ruthless Aggression, but not in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
At one point, they started to get too far with it.
Yeah.
But today, when they use blood sparingly in WWE, like with Randy Orton.
Or like the Usos, like... Okay, perfect example. So the way they built the Usos in the New Day's recent tag team match in the Hell in a Cell, that was like... You're gonna do that? You know? That was something WWE hasn't done in a long time. And it worked because the story was built great. They didn't beat the shit out of each other like that in their other two matches.
Right.
It was the culmination. With this, it was just like, okay, I'm gonna put you here, fuck each other up.
Right.
You know? So I think when Lucha Underground got to that point is when it started, like, tumbling, you know?
Uh-huh.
And fans, too, like, fans like to egg on the chance of, like, violence and gore and horror and all that shit. you got to realize, like, sometimes it's emotionally draining to see that every single fucking match.
Well, like, you watched this back-to-back, so yeah. It was 5 hours of this.
Yeah, and then the people in the stands
watched. It's a lot to take on.
Yeah, so I think when it was, it had the great athleticism, great storylines, and then maybe they start something, and then the next two episodes was the culmination where it was, like, blood going into the crowd. I think when it was doing that is when Lucha Underground was at its best. But when it started throwing everything all in together, you know, violence going into the crowd every episode, men beating on women, you know, I think that's when it started to die.
I can't stand Matt Stryker either. Like, fuck, he's horrible, dude. He is fucking horrible.
He talks. I kind of like Matt Stryker, but he just talks too much.
Yeah.
It's great to see Vampiro, you know?
Yeah. I hope this gets a fourth season. I really do, man, because it is a good alternative.
Yeah.
Better
than TNA, GFW, Jeff Jarrett Show, Anthony Show. Yeah,
exactly. We'll see where it goes. I mean, it doesn't look promising right now.
It doesn't, but what I can probably see them doing something like it similar, but something a little bit different.
I'd like, if they do a fourth season, to just wrap it up.
Yeah.
You know, like, Ultima Lucha, what would it be, Cuatro?
Cuatro, yeah.
That's going to be the end of this whole thing. Yeah. Like, the temple's going to have to burn to the ground. There has to be a nice little ribbon on this.
Yeah, definitely. And if it does continue, I can probably see this being a Netflix show. Because they're already on Netflix, you know?
Yeah.
So, I can see this. And if it does continue, just be a strictly Netflix show, you know?
Sure.
Because Netflix, what do they have pro wrestling wise? Glow, you know?
Yeah.
Hulu has WWE, sort of. They have Main Event, SmackDown, and Raw. But yeah, I enjoyed Lucha Underground. It was really great. And again, we're not shitting on any of these wrestlers. All these wrestlers are great. I just think the ideas behind some of the matches in this whole thing could have been handled a little bit better.
All right, well, let's get into Breaking Kayfabe. So we've been hearing rumors that a bunch of WWE guys had an illness.
It's either an illness or they're thinking about leaving. But yeah, there's like an illness going around. Past 2-3 weeks, Bo Dallas hasn't been on Raw.
Or Bray,
yeah. And people are like, oh, well, the vignettes. Well, like, those vignettes were pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And Bray Wyatt's girlfriend, JoJo, hasn't been on Raw either. So people are thinking, oh, they all got sick together. But according to JoJo's mother on Twitter, JoJo's fine. And I think she said Bray's fine, too. So
She's probably covering up.
Yeah. What I...
Who cares? It's fucking meningitis. Anybody can get that.
Yeah, I heard it was meningitis, too. But there was also another thing, another possibility that rumors are going around that it's actually the brothers...
Mumps?
The brothers are trying to leave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right now, that's just a rumor. Because there is reports going around that, like, with Neville walking out and being happy about walking out, which we know for sure he walked out and he wants out of his contract.
Right.
And WWE hasn't made a statement with him.
Nia Jax, too, was rumored.
Nia Jax...
Now she's back, apparently.
Well, we'll get into that. So, the brothers, the Bo Dallas and Bray, the rumor is they're trying to leave. You know, which, if you look how they mishandled those two, you know.
A character like Bray Wyatt would fucking shine on Lucha Underground.
Definitely. And he can, like, if he can go, like, anywhere, like, if you go to Lucha and then maybe TNA and then Ring of Honor and then just go all over, that just build the character of just, like, this ever-present, you know. Right. You know, right. It could be what Bray Wyatt was supposed to be. And then the brothers can finally join together. Fucking amazing. But, the most prominent reason is the meningitis. Rumor is, though, they're trying to leave. And the thing with Nia Jax is apparently Nia Jax had some family issues that she wanted to leave. But I also heard she pulled the Rock card. Why is every semi-Samoan, semi-black person trying to pull the Rock card? Did the Rock's family just, like, fuck the whole world and had all these cousins?
Right.
God damn it. But she pulled the Rock card because she... heard that I heard that she pulled the rock card because she wanted to be handled differently.
So what this has led to, though, is TLC on paper was not looking like it was looking like a one match show pretty much.
Yeah,
because you had the Shield versus the Miz, Braun Strowman, the Bar, and then a returning Kane who showed up on Raw.
Oh yeah, Kane showed up on Raw this last week and pulled a Braun Strowman on Roman Reigns. It's like, I'm not finished with you.
Yeah. And then you had Peter Pumpkins taking on Sister Abigail.
So bad. So bad.
Alicia Fox taking on Sasha Banks.
So bad.
Emma taking on Asuka.
So bad.
Alexa Bliss taking on Mickie James.
Yeah, okay. And I think Mickie James is hot, so.
That's it. Oh, and then, I'm sorry, Neville and Kalisto.
Enzo.
I mean, yeah, Enzo and Kalisto. Okay. Yeah. So you look at that and you're like, why would I want to watch this except for the main event?
Yeah, so right now, because Bray Wyatt hasn't been on TV, they changed the match. The Demon or Finn Balor, I don't know which one it is, versus the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Dream match.
Dream match. They never fought in New Japan.
Nope.
Yeah, first time ever.
Bullet Club leaders collide.
This is what we have been waiting for, people.
Not only that, though, but perhaps, and for sure, it's the bigger news. Even though I'm looking most forward to that match.
Oh, definitely. I am. And I hope it's... Do you want to see Finn Balor or the Demon versus AJ Styles?
I'd rather see Finn.
Yeah, I'd like to see Finn. It's too early for the Demon versus Styles. But we're probably going to end
and
up...
And tear the fucking house down. Give them, you know, give them 35 minutes.
Oh,
fuck
dude,
it.
They're going to kill... There's going to be... amazing, you know? And I've gone on record saying this. I think Finn Balor is a better package as a wrestler than Styles. And again, I'm not knocking Styles. Styles is a great wrestler, but I think Finn has more of a character about him with his two personalities and with his wrestling styles and how he can switch them up a little bit more. You know?
I'd so like this, to go on record and disagree there.
I'll get you.
Hey, it's good. Dude, that's a phenomenal match, though. It really is.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking amazing.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
The main event, though. So Roman Reigns apparently has the HIV now or whatever the fuck's going
on. Yeah, I don't entirely believe he's sick. Even though people are saying that, I don't
believe
it.
Well, now there's rumors he failed another drug test. There's all kinds of fucking rumors flying around.
Well, I have my own theory, but let's get into this. So Roman Reigns is sick, and you can announce it because this is from your generation.
For the first time in 11 years, Kurt fucking Angle will be wrestling, teaming up with Seth Rollins and Dean to take on those five jabronis in a TLC match. I can't believe this is his first match back, a fucking TLC match.
Yeah, this is insane. I was in a coffee shop eating and I almost screamed my fucking head off. I was reading the Bleacher Report on this and they mentioned like, is this really... So, where I'm going to play devil's advocate with this. Is this really the match Kurt Angle should be wrestling as his first match?
Probably not.
You know, with all of his neck injuries and all that shit.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all.
It doesn't. But people have been wanting to see Kurt Angle go against most of these guys. You know, Sheamus, Cesaro, for example.
Absolutely.
So, this is going to be a very... I have no doubt these two matches are going to be great matches. The only thing I can see wrong doing this is, like, people, like, the Finn and Styles match being better than the tag match, and people just being, like, so drained from how awesome that match is, they can't get into how awesome this match is gonna, the tag match is gonna be.
They'll probably put fucking Alicia and, Sasha Banks.
In between.
Yeah, in between.
Yeah, but, this is crazy. My theory... It was really just out of the blue, you know? And I get people, like, okay, let's say they're all sick, you know? If they're sick, why would you put, like, you can put, like, who on Raw can you put, let's think, who can you put Finn against on Raw?
To replace Bray?
Yeah.
Fuck. Most of the guys are in the main event.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so it's pretty slim. The Drifter?
Well, let's see. What about SmackDown? Because they're pulling Styles from SmackDown.
I'm fully expecting the Drifter to have a match at this pay-per-view, too, in some capacity.
So let's take Styles out of the equation. If they're pulling people from SmackDown, you can have Bobby Roode.
Ziggler.
You can have...
No one would give a shit, though, if Ziggler came over.
Ty Dillinger. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd probably pop for Ty Dillinger.
Baron Corbin, you know? He is the U.S. champion. Jinder Mahal.
That would be big.
Yeah. You can have Jinder Mahal. Randy Orton. Cena. Yeah. If you really needed someone, you can just call Cena.
Right. That would be a huge match versus Finn.
Yeah.
Now, your experience with Kurt Angle is pretty much from TNA, right?
No. I remember him from the Ruthless Aggression era. And okay. I remember how great he is.
Yeah.
He is phenomenal. And the same thing, like, why don't you just cut the Finn? So you're putting Kurt Angle in with there. That's a very big step, because I believe WWE had a big plan for Kurt Angle soon.
Yeah.
And they're putting him into this match.
I bet they were saving it for WrestleMania.
Definitely. I think they were building something around him and The Miz.
I don't want to see him fight Triple H, though.
Nah, it's not going to be Triple H.
I wonder if Jason Jordan turns on Kurt Angle here.
I don't know.
Because I kind of thought maybe that's where they were going.
I thought it was going to be something towards, like, The Miz, you know? Because The Miz always goes at the general managers.
Right.
And he couldn't really do anything with Daniel Bryan, because Daniel Bryan can't fucking wrestle there.
Right.
So I was thinking maybe Kurt Angle's first match will be against The Miz, you know? Which I think would be a good match, those two going at it. But it just, like, if putting the Shield back together was, like, the nuclear bomb to getting Roman Reigns over, like, this is... Putting Kurt Angle in the, like, something big's at play. Like, obviously, this match between, you know, the Miztourage, Braun Strowman, Kane versus the Shield, obviously this match has some importance if they're going to put Kurt Angle in it. Because my thing is, like, if I had, okay, so Bray Wyatt's gone, Roman Reigns is gone. Okay, I'll cut the Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt match and have him team up with the Shield. That makes most sense to me. You know?
I agree.
So, I think something's bigger at play.
And this kills the fucking momentum the Shield had.
Well, rumor has it is that Ambrose will be the one to turn on the Shield next.
Yeah, we've been hearing that rumor too, so...
I actually would love to see a heel Ambrose, because everyone loves Ambrose.
You know? Yeah, I agree with you, man.
So, the momentum of the Shield's killed, but this is going to be a great match.
Also, Jinder Mahal threw down the gauntlet for Brock Lesnar. And you're going on record here saying Jinder's going to beat Brock.
Oh, fuck yeah. The way, man, Vince McMahon's got such a huge boner right now with Jinder Mahal on top. Just fucking, you know, I see the same, and you've gone on record, but the Singh brothers are going to fucking die in this match, which absolutely. I totally agree. So I want to place a bet right now. I want to bet.
All right.
I say Jinder Mahal's going to win.
I say there's not a chance in hell of that.
You don't think Brock's gonna pull the Hogan card?
Yeah, well, I think the ultimate goal here is they want to keep Brock strong until he loses to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I say...
And Jinder will lose the belt to John Cena at WrestleMania. That's where I think they're going with this.
Yeah, that sounds like a horrible idea.
It's gonna happen.
It's horrible.
Mark my words.
Horrible. Anyway, but yeah, Jinder Mahal threw down the gauntlet. They're going to face each other Survivor Series. Horrible idea. The UK show is reportedly being in the works for the UK, the participants of the UK tournament. Right now, it's been reported that the name is going to be King of the Ring, and it'll be a WWE Network exclusive.
That's insane. I love King of the Ring. I wish they'd bring it back, but I mean, I'm giving up on it. I know they're not going to.
Yeah. I feel like that I would love to see King of the Ring come back. The name does kind of fit the UK wrestlers.
Yeah, it does.
I love Trent Seven so much. He posted something on Twitter. He was just saying, huh, the Shield have reunited. Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, I think we need to have a word.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I would love to see, and I've been pushing this, you know, if you guys want to watch wrestling, tag team wrestling, watch British Strong Style. It's Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne. They're fucking amazing.
Yeah, they are.
I would love to see those guys go up against the Shield before. Let's see, what else? You got anything on your end?
That's really about it. Those are the, you know, the big topics right there.
Oh, Tetsuya Naito versus Marty Scurll at the Global Wars. And yeah, UK Global Wars on November 9th.
Really?
Yeah.
I know Kenny Omega's booked for that show too.
Yeah, but Tetsuya Naito versus Marty Skrull.
Because everybody's saying it's a work.
Eh, it's real. Apparently he's going to go back to teaching at 3D Academy.
No shit.
Yeah, he kind of just gave a promo at the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. What was it? Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Bubba made his way in the ring after the Kushida and Cheeseburger match. And Bubba then explained it was time for him, which he was booed for. But then the crowd chanted for him, and he soaked up the moment and thanked the fans. He said Chicago was his favorite place to wrestle. He claimed the young boy represents the fans and gave him a piece of the table he put Kizaru through. He hugged the boy who went back to his seat, held up a piece of the table he was given. Bubba said that was the last table he'd ever break, thanked the fans, and left. Bubba never used the word retirement in his speech, but it does appear to be retired. Bubba will now go back to running his 3D Academy, which is the wrestling school he runs with Devon Dudley. So he'll still be in the wrestling industry, just won't be wrestling.
Yeah. Never say never, though, with pro wrestlers, dude.
Yeah, never say never, but this is his retirement. I just want to say, Bubba, thank you so much, you know, and...
What's going on with Kevin Owens? Apparently he's going to miss the rest of the South American tour due to personal reasons.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything, but I did hear he was going to be missing that, and it's interesting.
Sami Zayn's looking pretty awesome as a heel, huh?
Yeah, I'm loving Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens as heels is such a great idea. Yeah, that's been good. Baron Corbin lost to Sin Cara.
The fuck's up with that, dude? Is Sin Cara getting a push?
Probably for this month, as it is. Is it still Hispanic Heritage Month? Yeah.
Oh, it is?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Shit.
WWE, you racist fucks.
You know what? I mean, there's nothing, whatever. That is what it is, but it's just they cater to them, like, at certain times, and then he'll just go back to being a jobber after that?
Yeah. Fucking. That was me throwing my hat. Dolph Ziggler beat Bobby Roode. What the fuck?
He did?
Yes, on SmackDown, he beat.
He pinned him.
He pinned him by pulling up the trunks. Like.
Why?
Fuck! This is what Dave Meltzer warned. He warned us.
50-50 bookie, man.
He warned us that this was going to happen if he left NXT, and it did. They're fucking up Bobby Roode, and it sucks.
Wow.
NXT.
Let's hear it.
Adam Cole, baby, will be the next person to face Drew McIntyre for the championship.
Really?
Yes. And it's going to be at their San Antonio show. And
that's right.
Guess who's special guest referee?
Shawn Michaels.
The Heartbreak Kid will be the special guest referee for this match.
That's awesome.
I am so stoked for this. It's going to be a great match, and Shawn's going to be there. I hope Shawn still kind of does his little comedy bit he does whenever he's in there, you know?
Yeah.
Shawn's in great shape.
The last bit of news, too, because I don't want to forget about this again. Ricochet.
Yeah.
He's free to go anywhere he wants in January, and it's heavily rumored that he's going to the Fed. 205 Live?
No. If they put him in 205 Live, WWE's as stupid as they look. He is such main event material, but maybe with Neville leaving, they need that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, size-wise, yeah, he can fit in there, but so can Finn.
Yeah.
There are some guys that just, they belong above that.
Yeah, I think Ricochet is one of those people.
But it comes down to what you were saying. Can he cut a promo? Can he get a character in line?
I think if Triple H works with him and William Regal, he can definitely.
I hope he keeps that name.
Ricochet?
It's a badass name.
It's a pretty good name. But yeah, he needs to... He has all the in-ring ability. He has the athleticism. He's in probably the best shape right now. You know? He just needs that character. And I think going to WWE will help him with that. And if it doesn't, then that's on him. I'm just going to say that. If he cannot come up with a character there, that's on him, you know?
Yeah, you got to get good booking, though, too. So, we shall see.
Yep.
That's it for now, guys. TLC tomorrow. We'll be back next week. Oh.
Last week, I ran into the Young Bucks' parents.
Oh, that's right.
They were at Knott's Berry Farm, and I was driving by, and I just rolled down the window. I'm like, hey, and they're wearing Bullet Club stuff. I'm like, hey, I like your guys' shirts. And then I saw the husband, and he's like, hey, too sweet, man. And I'm like, oh, you're the Young Bucks parents. He's like, yeah. And he asked, he's like, you look familiar. Were you there at the Invasion? And he Long said, Beach. Like, Invasion.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, no, I was at the Long Beach show. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember seeing you there. And he just said, like, hey, you know what? You know, this whole ordeal with the Too Sweet, it only made us more money. You know, made our sons more money. So we're going to keep doing it. You know, Too Sweet, brother.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, it was so funny running into them.
For sure. Follow us, Dragon Store Radio, at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Follow me at The Mike Auger on Twitter. And download the show on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Leave us a rating. Let us know what you think. We will be back next week for TLC.
Later.